As you take your seats, please turn with me to John chapter 14, the 14th chapter of John. We'll begin reading at verse 19. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 19. Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he says, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Verse 22, Judas said unto him, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to come together today and to be amongst them who love you and love to worship you and have put their hope and their trust and their confidence in you. We thank you for the privilege it is that we're able to come together and to hear your word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, because our ears are open and our hearts are ready to receive your word today. And we declare that we will not only be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word. Hallelujah. For we recognize that the victory is in doing your word. Hallelujah to God. So bind every distraction, every hindrance, everything that will come to try to prevent your word from going forth in this place. Bless every hearer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. A few years ago, I managed a program for adjudicated youth. Now, adjudicated youth is a youth that has been charged with a crime and has been found guilty of that crime. And so I ran a program where the judge would say, instead of sending you to a juvenile detention center or putting you in out-of-home placement, you come to this four-month program and I'll erase your record and I won't put you in out-of-home placement. So running this program, we had to do an intake meeting. During the intake meeting, we would explain to the youth, here are the expectations. This is what you have to do to be a part of this program. And here's how you don't get kicked out of the program, and here's how you're able to stay in the community. I supervised this program for about a year, and we had 80 youths come through that program. And I noticed that out of the 80 intakes that I did, only one intake had a father present. 79 did not. Upon further investigation, I noticed that most of the youth in my program either didn't know who their father is or they didn't have a relationship with him. And it devastated me to see the effects of not having a father present in your life. I realized that at some point I was expecting them to exhibit behavior that they had never seen before. So I realized that I had to be the model of a father for them so that they can see this is how you conduct yourself. This week I've been reflecting on that experience, and I reflected on the fact that if it is that devastating to not have a relationship with your earthly father, how devastating is it not to have a relationship with our heavenly father? If not knowing your biological father can mess you up for a long time, what is it that happens to us when we don't know our heavenly father? And it's easy to find. The Bible speaks of those who don't have a relationship with God. He says that we are living in darkness. And darkness in Scripture represents sin and evil, spiritual blindness, and ultimate death and separation from God. And so let's not pretend that there is no attempt in our culture and in our world to keep us from knowing God. Let's not pretend that the laws that are being passed and the positions that our culture is taking is not an attempt to cause us to reject and not recognize our necessity of God. Come on. You can be anything in our culture but a person who believes in God and it is acceptable. And so we are devastated by lives that are absent of the knowledge of God. But I'm challenged also because how is it possible to know God? We talk about God at times as if he is something that we can examine or measure or put in the box and determine how he's going to behave. But if we tell the truth about it, there is a huge gap between us and God. Can we tell the truth this morning? To say that we can know God is like going outside, seeing an ant on the ground, and thinking that that ant can know who you are and have a relationship with you. As big as we are, as compared to ants, the ant doesn't know we exist unless we reach way down and put our finger in its path. But even when we do that, it just thinks that we are a thing that it has to get around. Come on, it has no concept of who we are or what we are. We can observe it. We can follow it. But it cannot observe us. It cannot know us. We can know how it is, but it cannot know how we are. And so here is the challenge. How do we get from where we are to the place where we can actually know God? It's a long challenge. And so the atheists, they resolve this challenge by saying, not a problem. There is no God. So there's nothing to worry about. There is no gap because there is no God. Well, the agnostics say, well, there may be a God, but there's no way that we can know for sure. There's evidence that there is a God, but there's no way that we can know for sure. And then there are the theists. The theists are those who believe that God exists. They believe in God. But let me make it clear to you that all theists are not equal. There are many theists, and most other world religions will acknowledge that there is a God, but they will say he is not personal, which means you cannot have a relationship with him. You can know that he is, but he's not a personal God. This whole idea of calling him your father and you being his children, that's not really possible because he is God, but he's not a personal God. You cannot get to know him. But the Bible teaches that there is a God and we can get to know him. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And we get to know him because he reached way down in the person of Jesus Christ and revealed himself to us so that we can know him. And so he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The words that I speak are not my words. They're the words of my Father. So the Bible says there is a God and you can know him. You can know him. John chapter 14, verses 19 through 23 tells us in so many words that we can know God, we should know God, and we must know God. I'm going to go through this quickly, and then I'll be out of your way today. Verse 23 tells us how we can know God. How can we bridge the gap between us and God? Verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Listen to what that verse is saying. He's saying, if you obey my word, I will come to you and make my abode with you. Abode means home. So in other words, Jesus says, if you obey my word, God said, I will make my home in you. He says, you don't have to come looking for me. I will come to you. I will come and live with you. Now, let's be honest here. You don't really know somebody until you live with them. Come on. All the married folks, say amen. Huh? You don't know somebody until you live with them. You know, that's why you can have two best friends move in with each other. By the time you move out, you're enemies, can't stand each other. The next thing we know, you're on People's Court or Judge Judy suing each other, saying all kind of nasty things about each other. The judge would say, well, didn't you know that before you moved in? No, I never knew he was like that before I moved in with him. When you live with somebody, that's how you get to know them. And God is saying, if you obey my word, I will come and live with you. I will bridge the gap between you and me so that you can get to know me. How does this work? God is his word. Just like you are your word, God is his word. Let me say this. You cannot know more about God than you know about his word. I don't hear nobody. You cannot know more about God than you know about his word. You cannot obey God more than you obey your word, his word. You cannot trust God more than you trust his word. And you cannot love God more than you love his word. The way you experience the true and living God is through his word. When you read his word, you're having a conversation with God. When you spend time in his word, you're spending time with God. And here's the challenge. Not a day should go by that we don't spend time in God's word. A few months ago, I gave you this challenge. I don't know if any of you did it, but the challenge was that you should only eat as often as you spend time in God's Word. How many of y'all remember that challenge? Look at the strange face. We don't remember you ever saying that, Pastor. You never told us that. What if you only allowed yourself to eat after you have read the Word of God? Two things would happen. You lose weight and gain power. Come on, somebody. All of us could benefit from that. Verse 23 teaches us that the only way you can know God, hear this, is by obeying His Word. When you obey God's Word, He makes His home in you. See, we want to get to God, but we don't want to obey His Word, because His Word doesn't care about what our culture teaches. His Word doesn't care about how we feel. His Word is His Word. And He says, if you want to know me, you have to obey my Word. Can I say this to you? Then I'll move on. Any dreams you have, any visions you have, any impressions you get, any prophetic utterances that come your way, you have to run that through the Word of God. You don't know if that's God talking unless you find confirmation in His world and in His Word. And we live in a generation that believes our visions and our dreams more than we believe God's Word. And we will ignore what God said because in prayer we got an impression. Can I save your life today and tell you, I don't care where you think it came from, if it's not confirmed in the Word of God, it is not God. Come on. He's not going to say one thing to you in prayer and something else in His Word. He is consistent. Knowing God is not just head knowledge. In Scripture, knowing means experience. So when you know God, you experience God. And experience God comes through obedience. The only way that you can know God is through obedience to His Word. Every mother and father will tell you that it is difficult to have a relationship with a child who's not obedient. Don't look at your child. If your child is sitting next to you, don't look at him. Just look straight at me. We all know that it's difficult to raise a child who is determined to do the opposite of what you say. You know it's difficult when you have given specific instructions and everybody knows what is supposed to be done, and you have that one child who refuses to obey. It's difficult to have a relationship like that. And so the same thing applies to God. How can we build a relationship with God when we only want to do what we understand? We only do with what we agree with. He says, I'm not even coming to live with you unless you are willing to obey my word. He said, if you obey my word, I'll come and I'll live with you. Verse 21 tells us that we should know God because knowing God changes us. Verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. In other words, you can say you love me, but if you don't keep my commandments, you don't really love me. He says, and he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In other words, I will reveal myself to him. As you obey God, he reveals himself to you. The more you obey him, the more he will reveal himself to you. The more he reveals himself to you, the more you experience him. And the more you experience him, the more you know him, and the deeper your relationship with him becomes. And the deeper your relationship with him, the more your life changes. Listen, knowing God changes our life. If you have a real experience with God, if you have a real encounter with God, it changes you. Come on. You cannot experience the living God and go back to being the way you were before you experienced him. Listen, if you are coming and you are reading and you are going through the motions and your life is not changing, there is something missing somewhere. You ought to be changing as a result of hearing the word of God. Listen, there's no sense in coming every Sunday and hearing the word and leaving here and not changing. Every time you hear the word of God, every time you experience God, you ought to change a little bit. Something in you ought to shift a little bit every time you hear his word. He says, you do that, I'll manifest myself to you. Listen, you cannot think your way into knowing God. You cannot practice your way into knowing God. You cannot serve your way into knowing God. The scripture says, obey me and I'll show you. Obey me and I'll manifest. Obey me and I'll reveal. Do what I tell you to do and I'll show you who I am. The only difference between some of us is some of us are more willing to obey. And so we know more and we experience more. Why? Because we've obeyed more. There's nothing special about us. We've just decided that, God, if you said it, I'm going to obey you even if I don't understand it. And the reward you get for that is that he reveals himself to you. And I can't think of a greater gift than the gift of knowing who God is. Lord have mercy. He says, I will manifest myself to him. I will show myself to him. How many of you want God to show himself to you? Right there, right in your situation, right with what you're dealing with. God, show yourself to us. I was dealing with something not too long ago, and I said, God, show me where you are in this situation. Show me yourself in this situation. And can you believe it? There were things that, in order for that to happen, there were things that he had told me to do that I had not done yet. I did not see him until I obeyed him. Oh, we're going to help the church of the living God this morning. If you want to see him, you must obey him. Yes. Verse 19 tells us that we must know God, because knowing God gives us life. Verse 19, Jesus says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. The secret of this text is that Jesus is saying that in the little while, the world is not going to see me, but you will. Lord have mercy. Man. That is the gift for the believer. Now, Jesus is literally talking about, he is preparing himself for his crucifixion and going back to heaven. And so he would not be physically on the earth anymore. But Jesus was telling his disciples that even when I'm gone from this world, the world won't see me. But guess what? You will. Church, why are you surprised that you see things that the world doesn't see? Why are you trying to convince people to see things your way when Jesus says the world is not going to see, but you will see? Why? Because I will reveal myself to you. Hallelujah. Listen, I stop fighting with people who don't see it the way I see it. I stop fighting with people who don't see it the way the scripture says it. Why? Because this verse says, in a little while, the world won't see me, but you will. Lord have mercy. That's the blessing right there. That in spite of how blind the world is, we can see him. And here's why. He says, because I live, you shall live also. God is the source and sustainer of all life. Knowing God gives us life. And Jesus said, I come, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. When you know God, you are connected to the source and the maintainer of life, Lord. You are connected to life itself. And as long as he lives, he says, because I live, you shall live also. Man, it's the only guarantee that we have is that as long as he lives, we shall live also. We are because he is. And it doesn't matter what happens to us in this life. Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The promise is that as we know him, we will live. Because he lives. So not only can we know God, but we should know God. And if we want to live, we must know God. There's one more scripture I want to bring to your attention, then I'll be done for today. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. You can write this scripture down. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Can I tell you something on this Father's Day? There's nothing more dangerous to this world than a man who knows his God. And excuse me, ladies, I know, but it's Father's Day, so I can say it today, huh? There's no greater threat to the kingdom of darkness than a man who knows his God. Why is that? Because a man who knows his God knows himself. And a man who knows himself knows his purpose. And a man who knows his purpose would rather die than not pursue his purpose. I want you to understand something. You don't want to be on the other end of a man who knows his God and his purpose. Listen. Either help him or get out the way. You don't have to be his friend, but don't be his enemy. Because a man who knows his God will let nothing stop him from pursuing his purpose. Look at what Daniel said. Daniel said the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. What are exploits? Exploits are notable or heroic acts. Here is the thing. When you know God, you don't back down just because things are rough. Well, come on, somebody. When you know God, you don't back down just because your adversary is strong. People who know their God, when things get rough, they become heroes. Have you ever seen the most weak and timid person when a crisis rises up? That person who couldn't say a word all of a sudden rises up and become like a wild animal defending what needs to be defended. Listen. And when we know our God, he makes us heroes. He said, you'll be strong and do exploits. I need a church that is not intimidated by our adversary. Why? Because we know our God. Lord, have mercy. If you know him, you know there's no reason to fear. If you know him, you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you know him, you'll know that even if you die, you still win. If you know him, he said, you will be strong. Come on, we need some strong people who know their God, who doesn't get weak every time something happens, but we do exploits. Oh, yes, we don't back down because we're being threatened. No, we rise up because we know our God is the Lord of hosts, and he has not entered a battle that he has not won. He has not met an enemy that he could not defeat. He even defeated death when he died on the cross and rose again. If you know your God, who can intimidate you when you know your God? We know everybody else. I'm not going to go there this morning, but we know a lot of people. We know a lot of opinions, but I've never seen a day where so many people come to church and don't know God. Whew. Can I have a moment of transparency here? I'm challenged when I speak to you every Sunday because my objective is to get you to have a better understanding of who God is and who you are in him. And I get frustrated when I see the adversary taking advantage of us. I get angry when I see those of us who've been in the way, who have known God a long time, are discouraged or weakened because of some threat that the adversary has brought our way. But I'm here to let you know today that we've got to go back to the place where our objective is to have a closer walk with Jesus. It's an old song, but it means a lot. Our objective has got to be to know God, because the consequences of not knowing God is greater than what we can imagine. A few more points and I'm done. Coming to church alone does not make you know God. Giving to the poor doesn't make you know God. Being a good person doesn't make you know God. The only way you can know God is through obedience. Yeah, you have to obey what he says. Would you stand to your feet? This is not the season to be unsure. This is the season to know for sure the God that we serve. This is the season to be strong and heroic. Where is the church that is confident in God, who doesn't let the wind of this world pull us off and away from our God? Listen, God reached way down to reveal himself to us so that we could know him in a personal way, so that we can know him as our Father, so that we can reap the benefits of being his child right here and right now. And let me tell you, everything in this world is set up to keep you from knowing God. Everything is set up. All of these distractions, there are more distractions now than ever. It's not an accident. The adversary says, let me keep them busy so that they won't see God. Let me make it so that they don't have time to read God's word. Because you know, God talks to you when you read his word. He'll reveal something that you didn't know about your adversary when you read his word. So he gives us all these distractions. But we got to make up in our mind today that we're not going to let anything stop us from knowing God. I'm getting ready to pray. But Paul said that he gave up everything. Then he said, I counted it as dung. Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He said, all that I have gained in my life is nothing compared to the excellency of knowing Christ. I want to ask you a question. Are you holding on to anything that's keeping you from knowing Christ? Come on. Are you holding on to a practice, an activity, or a mindset that is keeping you from knowing Christ? I hear the Lord say, if you want to know me, you have to be like Paul. Consider it dung. Consider it nothing. Reject it. And he says, I'll reveal myself to you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, today, on this Father's Day, we thank you for the gift of fatherhood, the strength of fatherhood. We thank you for the power that rests in men to lead and direct and protect our families. We thank you for the many examples that you have given us, many of which are here this morning. You have given us examples of what it means to be a father. But I thank you, God, that you made sure that nobody was left out. You said that you will be a father to the fatherless so that we all can know what it's like to have a father. Hallelujah, God. So I pray today, God, that you would help us to remove anything in our life that keeps us from knowing you. Help us today not to be disobedient children that want to have it our own way. But God, help us to make it easy for you to reveal yourself to us, because we're so willing to obey, hallelujah, that we let go of anything that keeps us from knowing you. God, I pray today for that person in this room right now who's unsure about your presence in their life. God, manifest yourself to them, hallelujah, in ways that they have not known. God, say to them what I can never say. Reach them in a way that I could never reach them, God. In the name of Jesus, go to where they are right now, God, so that they will know for sure that they have had an encounter with you, and that their life is changing because of you. God, we thank you for the promise of life. We thank you, God, that you said, because you live, we shall live also. Hallelujah. We thank you for life today. Hallelujah. A gift that no one can take from us. But it belongs to us because of you. I pray your blessings upon these people now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.